Good morning, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to Essex Church on this, I think, sunny Sunday morning here in February. Here we gather, a community created by all who walk through our doors, a community that is open to all. Because as Unitarians, we recognise the equality of all peoples, and we affirm that each person must be free to find their own truths in a spirit of goodwill. And it's with a great spirit of goodwill that I welcome the Reverend Richard Boakey to our service today. Welcome, Richard. Richard lived here at Essex Church when his wife Yopi was interim minister of this congregation in the 1990s. He's ministered to congregations as far apart as Horsham in Sussex and Berkeley in California. And he works passionately now to encourage interfaith dialogue, particularly through the International Association for Religious Freedom, the IARF, and the World Congress of Faiths. So, Richard, welcome back to Essex Church. And I trust you find us in good fettle. We'll expect a report later. But to begin our worship, let's take a moment to gather ourselves, bringing our attention to the here and now, to this place and these people, to this time, to ourselves here. Here, as always, as many of us will be, with the baggage of our lives, yet perhaps able for this hour to lay some of our issues to one side, as we might put a coat on a chair next to us or a bag on the floor near our feet. I invite you now, in your own mind, to set aside perhaps some of the clutter and busyness of your everyday life and instead align yourself with something deeper. In early February each year, the United Nations holds a week of interfaith harmony, recognising what Catholic theologian Hans Küng states, that there must be peace amongst the world's religions if there is to be peace in our world. I've lit our simple chalice flame today in recognition of the power of the Spirit that is evident in all the world's religions. There are many forms of religious expression in our world, but there is one light, the light of the Spirit. The prayer that I invite you to join with now involves, if you wish, some movement of your hands, simply holding your hands over your heart in this way, and then opening your palms upwards. And we're going to end it with saying in unison the peace prayer that you'll find on your hymn sheet. So perhaps you might like to have that ready. I call on the divine spirit of life and love to be with us now and to bless all that we say and do together here today. And as we place our hands over our hearts, let us move our attention towards our inner being. And imagine moving slowly further inwards until we reach that place deep inside us where I believe that abiding peace dwells. And if you wish, I invite you to bring your attention towards your loved ones, your neighbours, your family and friends, recalling their presence in your life, their place in your hearts. And then as we open our hands and extend them outwards, palms upwards, let us imagine sending forth peace from our hearts to those we love. especially any who might not be at peace with themselves or others on this day. And as we place our hands again over our hearts and bringing our attention towards our inner being, moving ever further inwards until we reach a place deep inside where peace dwells. If you wish, I invite you to bring to mind the suffering ones of our world, especially those who live in fear of being harmed in any way. And as we open our hands and extend them outwards with our palms upwards, let us send forth a deep peace from the centre of our being to those who are suffering. And as we place our hands again over our hearts, moving our attention towards our inner being, moving ever inwards until we reach a place deep within where peace dwells. If you wish now, I invite you to bring to mind those known or unknown for whom you feel troubled in some way. Those with whom we may experience any disharmony. And then let us imagine opening our hearts to those who we find difficult. And as we open our hands and extend them outwards with our palms up, with as much true intention as can arise within us, let us send forth the deep peace from the centre of our being to those who trouble us. And let us imagine peace beginning within us in this simple way and rippling outwards to our world. As we now say together, in unison, the words on our sheet, the International Prayer for Peace. Lead me from death to life, from falsehood to truth. Lead me from despair to hope, from fear to trust. Lead me from hate to love, from war to peace. Let peace fill our hearts, our world, our universe. Amen. Richard is going to join me now and take on the mantle of Richard Attenborough.
David Attenborough.
Is it? I've got Richard. How hilarious. One of the Attenboroughs, the one who likes the cuddly animals.
Yes.
How very funny. This is an interview that David Attenborough gave to a newspaper.
Metro, and, to be exact.
And the journalist asked, "So, David, what about any irrational fears or phobias?"
I never go, I might go, "That's extraordinary. How does it survive? Why is it here? Why did the dear Lord create that?"
But you don't believe the dear Lord created it anyway, do you? Hasn't that got you into trouble with the people who don't believe in evolution?
Well, not in this country. You get letters, but it's a very easy thing to answer. Someone says, "I believe a God of infinite mercy created every single species, and the dear Lord looks after us and all the animals." "Well," I say, "what about that little African boy, 5 years old, sitting on the banks of a river, and he's got a worm in his eye, and that's going to turn him blind in 3 years? Did this God you talk about actually design this worm and say, 'I'll put it in that boy's eye'? To suggest that God specifically created a worm to torture small African children is blasphemy, as far as I can see. The Archbishop of Canterbury doesn't believe that.
He's supposed to believe it, though, isn't he?
No. If you said to the Archbishop of Canterbury, "Are you really telling me that God got some mud, blew on it, and made a man?" And when that man said, "I haven't got a friend," he took out one of his ribs, rubbed it in his hands, and said, "Boom, boom." Roland Williams is a highly civilized, educated man. He wouldn't for a minute be so silly as to believe that. But it does put him in an intolerable position.
I've read that you're not an animal lover.
I'm not an animal lover, if you mean. Things are nice if you can pat them. But I am intoxicated with animals.
So do you have pets?
I used to have lots. Gibbons, chimpanzees, chameleons, snakes, hummingbirds, lemurs.
And how were your children with the animals? No phobias?
No, we never had a phobia in the house. You can't catch them.
But monkeys are scary, aren't they? They're like very badly behaved people.
Yes, they are. You shouldn't have them, really. The only reason we had them, and that whole list that I had, was that for a time I was collecting animals for the London Zoo. I came back with 150 animals of one sort or another. And the zoo took some of them, but some were stuck at home. But I didn't keep the monkeys very long.
When you see that sort of intelligence in animals, doesn't that make you want to be vegetarian?
No. If you understand the natural world, we're part of the system, and you can't feed lions grass.
But because we have the intelligence to choose...
But we haven't got the gut to allow us to be totally vegetarian. You can tell by the shape of your guts and the shape of our teeth that we were evolved to be carnivores. We aren't carnivores like lions, but neither are we elephants.
And so, David, was there an animal your wife wouldn't have in the house?
Me. No, she's a very tolerant woman.
Oh,
thank you.
Thank you. Some lovely words now from Mahatma Gandhi. Prayer is the very soul and essence of religion. Prayer is not asking, it is a longing of the soul. It is better in prayer to have a heart without words than words without a heart. God is that indefinable something which we can all feel but cannot know. I have no word for characterizing my belief in God. I do not regard God as a person. To me, God is truth and love. God is the source of life and light, and yet above and beyond all these. God is conscience. God is even the atheism of the atheist. God, to be God, must rule the heart and transform it. I believe in the absolute oneness of God, and therefore of humanity. What though we have many bodies, we have but one soul. The rays of the sun are many through refraction, but they have the same source. From the writings of Mahatma Gandhi.
Back in the year 1969 in America, there were some problems. We had a black caucus, we had the Vietnam War, and contributions to the National Church went down. So they had to drop some support elements. They closed the Office of Interfaith and Overseas Relations. So to save it, we thought we'd put together a North American chapter of the IRF. So we did, and yes, I was the first president of that chapter, and I drafted, with some changes, this document we're about to read for the first issue of our newsletter. And it's still going strong, I'm glad to say. If you'd respond in the bold-faced type. When a community separates itself from traditional belief and declares that it can no longer accept the doctrine of the sovereignty of nations and religions, a fundamental concern for the opinion of humanity requires that it state its reasons for so doing.
We know these truths to be evidence of human humanity.
That the power of the Spirit is not exclusive, but evident in all traditions. That common cooperation can be achieved without the necessity of common creed. We declare that freedom is more than independence from external authority. We declare the recognition of our status as fellow voyagers on the spaceship Earth. Thus we affirm as our covenant,
in necessities, unity, in the acts, stability, in all, charity.
So may it be. Well, I confess I'm not a very good huckster, but I keep trying. And I'm trying to interest you in a group called the International Association for Religious Freedom. We are a community of people working for religious freedom, peace, and responsibility. And our conference this summer will be on religious freedom and responsibility. Because some people take freedom as something you can do anything you want when you're free. But we believe that real freedom requires trust in one another and being responsible to that trust. So it's a little different. We are united in trying to overcome the ethnic divisions which continue to tear the world apart. And you can name one in almost every country of the world. One of the things we've discovered is prejudice is not unique to the South, where I was born in Atlanta, Georgia. It exists everywhere. And how do we deal with it? Well, we try to get people to talk to one another, to hear one another, to understand one another, become friends with one another, and trust one another. And it takes time and it takes difficult action now and then. The great blessing of my 50 years with the IARF has been the people. I want to take 10 minutes this morning of your time to talk about some IARF people who I have found very important in my life. I could start and will start with my wife, because we met at an IARF Congress in The Hague in 1964. So things went on from there. Beyond her, I'd like to take us to the Philippines, to Reverend Toribio Cromada, who wrote a song called Be Happy Universalist. And then the last line is a chorus that said, to teach the hope that is for all, proclaim the universal call. I just wonder if I put it on a little tape recorder, brought it back and transcribed it. Now it's published in other places from his singing it to us. Teach the universal call. I met him 50 years ago, actually in 1962, in the Philippines. He had become a universalist on his own and discovered there were some others around in the world. He founded the UU Church of the Philippines that now has about 30 congregations scattered from Negros Island to Manila. Most are small villages with pastors who are not paid anything, but do it because they love being part of such a community. I once went to his village in the southern Philippines in 1988. With a dozen of village ministers, we sat among the banana trees and exchanged songs. There was a fire we built, a little light for singing, and I sang Spirit of Life with him, and he sang along with me, strumming the guitar. And then he said, "Beautiful song, let's sing it again." And so we sung again, "Spirit of Life, come unto me." There. And 2 months after I left, he was murdered by the paramilitary because he'd been going out to the rebel area and doing funerals and doing weddings and blessing children. But that was fraternizing with the enemy, and they killed him. And this is the way it is in so many countries of the world as we try to press for religious freedom and life. We lose some of the best people. Let us remember Toribio. Actually, the time before I went out there, that very year before, in 1987, he had been with us at the IARF Congress at Stanford University in California. And I saw him many times. In fact, I helped put him on the plane back to the Philippines then. Beyond that, I would mention one of the real characters of the IARF. Her nickname is Zizi. And Zizi is Hungarian, in fact, born in Transylvania, as Annette knows very well. And her name is Dr. Judith Gellert. And Dr. Judith Gellert went to music school first in Marhos-Varsar-Hay. And she became a violinist, and she still plays the violin so exquisitely. It's as fine as any concert performance I've heard. And she plays for us sometimes at these gatherings. And Judith had some tragedy in her life. Of course, the Romanians had taken over, and then the communists took over Romania. And Unitarian ministers were considered subversive. Not only were they ministers, but they were Hungarian in Romania. And so Judith's father was thrown in jail for 6 years, let out. And when they heard that they were coming to arrest him again, he hung himself. This was life for ministers there. There were real tragedies, but she came through it. It's one reason she studied psychiatry, I think. And she came to the United States to that IARF Congress in Stanford University. And there, my wife, your minister for 2 years, introduced her to a professor named George Williams. And about 6 months later, Yopi performed the wedding service for them, and I took the video. Lovely time. What did Judith do? Well, beyond that, when the Iron Curtain came down in 1990, 5 buses came from Hamburg, Germany, full of Americans who had just been to the IARF Congress in Hamburg, where we heard Hans Kuhn say the words that are on your order of service today: "There shall be no peace in the world until there is peace among religions." Those buses made contact with little churches all over Transylvania, the first time you could bring in so many people. And we started a group called the Partner Church Program. And for a bit, the UU Extension Department helped with it. But the trustees said, hey, they need to be working in the States, so they pulled back the funding for helping the Partner Church Program. So once again, it was time to start something, and with Judith Gellert and Leon Hopper, who was president of the Ministers Association at the time, we sent out a letter calling to organize the Partner Church Council. We did. We met 20 years ago this year in Charlotte, North Carolina. 50 people came to the meeting, virtually all signed up on the spot, paid their dues, but we didn't have any money to pay an administrator. Guess who volunteered to take over? Judith Geller. And what a help it was, because names in Transylvania, the names of cities, come in Romanian, German, and Hungarian. And you need to be able to translate to know which city you're talking about. For instance, Marhos Marsharhei is Turgomarish in Romanian. These things move around. Well, she was such a great help that she really made it possible for this to be one of the most thriving organizations in the Unitarian movement today. They now have partner churches not only in Transylvania and the Czech Republic, as again Annette knows very well, but in India, in the Philippines, in Africa. They've started a partner church with Uganda. And these things make a big difference to the people there. Well, I wanted to add that I have a scarf here. I believe this is the one given to me by Judith, but I'm not quite positive to tell the truth. But I said to your minister, would you like me to wear a stole? And she said, well, the congregation would like it. So this is a stole from Transylvania, handmade by the ladies there as one of the things they do to make their ministers look good. And particularly American ministers love getting them to take back home. And a couple British ministers have them too. Austin Fitzpatrick did. So that's one more. Then I go on to the man who astounded me in many ways. Yukitaka Yamamoto. Yamamoto, or wasn't he the admiral who sunk our ships? Well, actually that admiral, by the way, was against the war. He thought they would lose, but he did the best he could. But anyway, this Yamamoto was no real relation of his. In fact, his father was a Shinto priest. A Shinto priest who had flown to China to protest the rape of Nanking, who was against much that Japan was doing. Like in Germany, there were those who resisted the regime. Two former Japanese prime ministers were assassinated by the military before the war to get away any pacifist in Japan who didn't want war again. Yamamoto didn't want to go in the army, but he had the choice. He could go in the army or be decapitated. He decided to go in. You say, that's terrible. Well, it happened in Austria too. I once stayed in a village in Austria, and I asked, well, what happened to their son? Oh, he refused to join the Wehrmacht. And they had him, led him into the village square and chopped his head off in front of the village. Sometimes being a war resister is not easy. And part of what we'd work for freedom is to give people the freedom to do this without being killed. Well, you say, why does that apply to Yamamoto? Well, when he went in, they sent him to New Guinea. He was with 2,000 men there when the Americans were swarming all around. They went into the jungle. They didn't have radios or anything. After 6 months, 12 survived. He was one of the 12. Yes, some were eaten by crocodiles, some were eaten by the natives. I mean, this was the way it was. He came back and discovered his brother, who was to be the chief priest of the shrine, had died in the war. He was designated. He felt unclean, unpure, polluted. And so for 10 years, every night, he went under an ice-cold waterfall and prayed, cleanse me, purify me, all six senses. Because they do, the soul has a sense as well. And then he felt ready, and he realized his mission was to be a peacemaker. And he spent much of his life bringing Shintoism into the dialogue of world religions. We have to learn to trust others. So that's what he did. And it's been a wonderful gift that he went on to become president of the IERF and really did a lot to bring Shinto into the dialogue. I'll conclude with a man whose picture has been right in the Inquirer. His name is Chris Hudson. Now, Chris was a labor organizer. organizing unions in Ireland and in Northern Ireland. And he got into the business as an organizer of mediating. And then they called him to mediate with the IRA. And he became a go-between that both sides trusted. And it so got into him that he got religion and became a minister. And he's now minister of All Souls Church in Belfast and calls himself a Unitarian, though they're technically non-subscribing Presbyterian. And I'm proud to have Chris as the co-chairman of our peacemaking commission for the IRF. He's a wonderful man, and he's going to be speaking both at our General Assembly for Unitarians, and he'll be speaking as well at the conference we're having this summer in Horsham, along with delegates from Israel, India, all over the world. So please think about the IRF, and one of these days I hope you come to at least one of our meetings. Thank you.
In the week ahead, may our voices help to create harmony in our world. May our hands enhance the beauty around us. May our thoughts seek the possibility of peace for all beings. And may love fill our hearts, our world, and our universe. Amen. Go well and blessed be.